Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study titled The Star of Bethlehem. As we debunk the idea propagated during the Christmas season of 2020 that the star followed by the wise men to find the Christ child in Bethlehem was actually a planetary conjunction. An honest reading of our text and a clear, reasonable observation of the planetary conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn will lay that false claim to rest. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study titled The Star of Bethlehem. Keep in mind, Jesus said that a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. This is part one of two.
That and then the current events update. Consider this. The CDC says that the flu this year is almost non-existent because of wearing masks and social distancing. Okay, you hear that? Now listen. That's what they said about the flu. Now, here's what they also say. The CDC says COVID-19 is out of control because no one is wearing masks and social distancing. Now, that is a fact. That is what they're saying. When asked about the flu, they're crediting masks and social distancing. And when trying to make everybody shut the world down and lose their jobs and not be able to pay their bills, it's because no one's wearing masks and social distancing.
They're confused.
They are liars is what they are. So just keep in mind what I constantly tell you is we can only cover so much of the fraud, so much of the lies. What we're trying to do is just wake everybody up to think. Amen. To question what you're told, and does it go against God's word first? Second of all, does it go against God's law as far as law of nature? And masks, especially not being worn properly, is a violation of natural law.
Amen.
Natural law, God gave you a nose and a mouth to spit and spew things out, not to keep them right here in front of your face. These masks are making people sick, and anybody who disagrees with what I just said, I'm telling you, this isn't a debate. This is a scientific fact. The masks are making people sick. Because just like medicine, if the doctor gives you a bottle of medicine and says, take one pill every 4 hours, three times a day, and you decide you're going to take three, six times a day, it will kill you. Amen. Medicine is just like masks. You have to use as it's intended. And if you do not use it properly, it's bad for you. What do you think the whole opioid crisis is? People who took opioids and abused them and got addicted and then end up either in prison or dead or killing somebody else or robbing and getting thrown in jail or whatever. Well, with these masks, people are getting sick with bacterial infections in their nose, their throat, their chest, their lungs. And it's because they are not wearing masks properly. And if the government cared about you, they would always insist that you only wear a mask properly. They hardly ever even say that. And on the signs, it doesn't say anything about wearing properly. It says, put it on, sheeple. So that's this. The world is so stupid that you have to laugh to keep your sanity. You have to. There are times where it just can't be laughed at, but learn to laugh.
Amen. Yes.
That's biblical, by the way.
Yes, it is.
The word levity comes to mind. It's a survival tactic. If one of the things that you talk about people who are in the military, who especially if they're in combat, they learn to just find humor.
Yes.
And things that wouldn't make, we would think that's kind of sick, but you know, they just have to find humor. And I've actually found that in first responders. I ran with an EMT squad for a few months when I was deciding whether I wanted to do that for a living 30 years ago. And it was kind of shocking what some of them found funny. But I realized after I went on a few bad runs that it was a survival tactic. We're not in quite that extreme situation, but we still need to laugh. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, I have to say this, especially for those online. You're not here before. You're not here after. We do a lot of laughing around here. We do a lot of goofing off. Amen. We have a good time. But you might get the idea, because we're pretty serious about the current events in light of Scripture and serious about Bible study. And we do cut up a little bit, you know, even during that time. But we can be very serious. And so I don't want you to get the wrong idea. We're not hypocrites telling you to do something we don't do. There's a time where you take things seriously. You don't laugh at a funeral, you know, unless the preacher's trying to tell a joke. But my mom, I won't tell, but my mom has a really funny story about a preacher being serious as can be and telling a story about the little piggies. And my mom got to laughing, and she couldn't stop. And but, you know, in her defense, it was, even as a kid, I'm thinking, what? But most of the time, though, at a funeral or places like that where you're serious and it's just not a right time to just laugh and carry on, unless, like I said, the speaker is just trying to lighten things up a little bit, fine. But even in a time of a funeral, even in a time of loss, as Christians, we can have joy. And I can, you know, I grieved. I've had bad things happen. I'll tell you, I was really thankful when I was around somebody who could kind of lighten up a little
Amen.
Bit.
That's right.
And it's biblical. So here's a few examples. When we talk about the COVID stimulus, you know, this stimulus bill that I'm not sure, we're not sure yet if the president's going to veto.
I think he did.
But I don't think it's vetoed
not
yet,
yet,
is it?
He said he's going to veto it. He said because he feels it's not right. The Americans only get $600.
Yes.
Okay.
The illegals get $1,800 and the rest goes to $400.
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage in it. But somebody put this out after it passed the House. Thanks for the $600, Nancy. It's just enough for 80 million angry patriots to buy a decent handgun. Can you imagine if everybody who got that, all the non-libtard socialists who got that $600 went out and bought a handgun with it? Doug was just talking about how guns are, you know, going up because of the demand. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the $600, you know, just fired up. Pelosi has a $60,000 refrigerator.
Now, John, first of all, your mother taught you not to talk with your mouth full. I think you're spitting on Jill. Second of all, you're getting serious on me again. Oh, he's going to get serious whether I stop him or not.
$7.29.
Yeah, yeah, that's what.
We couldn't even buy ice cream for a refrigerator.
Yeah, one of the headlines was Nancy Pelosi says, "Let them eat cake." But some of you history buffs know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So as far as working from home, how many of you here are working from home because of COVID? One. She was already, but she would be as a result anyway. Well, here's a tip: how to prepare for a Zoom meeting.
Yes.
Oh. Got the cat duct taped to the wall. There's some pretty funny videos out there where people are in Zoom meetings and a cat just goes, you know, crazy on them. And
I have to lock them out of the room.
How about New Year weight loss efforts? How many of you ever feel like this poor snowman? I don't know what to do. The more I run, the more weight I seem to put on. That's how I feel. I've got, actually, what I do is I get to really a few good days of walking and or riding the bike thing or whatever, and then I get sick. But
that
just feels like there's nothing you can do.
I got hungrier when I walked.
Yeah. But, you know, something happened up after the age of 40. I mean, I used to really be able to lose weight when I was in good shape. Ever since 40, man, I've been a snowman. But it's been a historic year, and we're going to set a new milestone on New Year Day. At 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, for the first time ever, hindsight will actually be 2020. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." And there are plenty of other scriptures in there where God tells his people, as best you can, have a sense of humor. Now, when the judgment starts to fall, it's kind of hard to laugh at anything. And that's what a lot of us have been surprised that the Lord has graciously and long, with his long suffering and mercy, not poured out on America. But we'll just thank him for that as we go into the new year and continue to plead for his mercy. Amen. All right. Well, if you would take your praise book, and we're going to start our Bible study by singing a song, 62, the Star of Bethlehem. We're going to sing about a beautiful star.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining.
Amen. That was a
nice little introduction to our Bible study.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the Star of Bethlehem. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, and we're going to read the even verses. Let's read Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. I'll begin in verse 1, and you join in the even verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Good. So this year in particular, we heard these kind of claims. It was in Christian and secular press. Headline: photos reveal Jupiter and Saturn aligned in the sky as a Christmas star that hadn't been seen for 800 years. And then you would see what this week's impossibly rare Christmas star on the solstice tells us about the Star of Bethlehem. Another one I found was the Independent. Christmas Star 2020. Was Star of Bethlehem caused by Jupiter and Saturn conjunction?
No.
And then here's another one. Right before Christmas, the world saw a unique phenomenon, the Bethlehem Star. Those were all headlines. And they're bogus. Social media also is filled with this sort of sappy nonsense. At the end of 40 days of rain, God showed Noah a rainbow. At the end of 2020, God shows us the Star of Bethlehem. So, this is nothing new and seems to have originated with Johannes Kepler in 1614 A.D., so it's if you thought that this was something that you just come up with, it's not. Star of Bethlehem to appear in the sky on Christmas week. Jupiter and Saturn will conjoin together as a brightly shining double planet for the first time in 800 years. So what they're insinuating is that Jupiter and Saturn, and sometimes they include Venus, I think, in it. And they say that this come together, and that's what the Star of Bethlehem was. This is from the article. German astronomer Johannes Kepler wrote in 1614 that he believed the Star of Bethlehem in the Nativity story could have been a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Others have suggested that the three wise men could have been following a triple conjunction of Jupiter, Saturn, and Venus. So, reality check. Number one, the Bible never says there are three wise men.
Amen.
So right there, you know the guy, whoever's writing this, is sloppy. Because that's not true of the Bible. The other thing, it says it was a star, not a conjunction of planets.
Amen.
So let's examine the scripture. And let's look again first at the text in verse 2, Matthew 2, 2. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his" what?
Star.
"We have seen his planetary conjunction in the east." Doesn't say that. Now, maybe the NIV does. Anybody got an NIV or the ESV? Maybe they say that. I don't know. Now, understand something. These wise men were smarter than you and me.
Yeah.
So why do you think they're so stupid to think that these planets are a star?
Because
See what it just does? It amazes me. I don't understand it. Everybody, all these teachers on Christian TV, and they're supposed to be the experts, and you're just yelling at the TV and they can't hear you. These were experts in the field of astronomy, not astrology, by the way. I'm not saying they didn't have some astrological influence, because back in ancient times, a lot of them did. A lot of the different astronomers also got into astrology. But they were experts, regardless of any astrology, they were experts in astronomy. Yeah.
By the way, you don't happen to have a picture of what the alignment looks like.
I didn't get one, and we couldn't see it where we live because it was too cloudy. But it's just, it's really bright, and it's really neat, and it's an astronomical thing where the planets are coming really close together, and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
It just has nothing to do with the Star of Bethlehem.
Right. Yeah.
Another reality check. These wise men knew the difference between a star and a conjunction of planets. It's just a fact. And so it's just really ridiculous that they're selling books and DVDs. Now, if you were a sucker and bought one of those, don't feel bad. So was I. When the DVD came out a few years ago on this, and I'm like, wow, that sounds really cool. So I bought it, popped some popcorn, sat down and watched it, and Jenny could hear me in another room screaming at the TV. They were saying stuff that was absolutely absurd.
Amen.
So here's the earliest reference to planets. Because some people say, well, in 30 AD, they didn't know all this. Yes, they did. Listen, if you have been taught that ancient people were stupid, you got to get a clue, man.
Amen.
We're the stupid ones today.
Amen.
I mean, we're still debating whether the earth is flat. Okay? There are huge swaths of the American population who believe that the earth is flat.
Yep.
Now, I showed this a couple weeks ago. There's a company that's going to send everybody up to the very edge of, I think it's the stratosphere. The top, that's as far as you can go before you're in space. And they're going to take 8 people up at a time. And it's going to be like four hours up to get there, 2 hours hanging out, and then 4 hours coming down. Because it's a real slow, that's why they say it's going to be so safe. I hope they're successful for one reason, if no other. Send all the flat earthers up. So they can get way up there and see that all the pictures and all the things that have been taken, not just by NASA, or not even just by SpaceX, or any other, you know, Russia's space program, China's space program, Japan's space program, Israel. I mean, that we've got all kinds of countries, tens of thousands of people who are supposed to all be a part of this conspiracy to keep you from finding out that the earth is flat. And so we think we're so smart. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I spend my entire day just fighting the urge to cuss. I pray, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Because the products being put out in America are crap. The productivity and product in America, because we're going into socialism. And when socialism takes over, everything falls apart. This thing here, I mean, it costs you, I can't remember how much, $150 or something like that. If you get one of those by Apple, it's like $1,000. The reason I spend $150 instead of $1,000, because the people who buy the one for the $1,000 say it's just as inept as this thing. And you try, you open it, and you sit there and you wait, and you wait. And then it gets open, and you start to read, and then it just freezes. And you can't make it do anything. You shut down, restart. It takes 15 minutes sometimes, when all I used to have to do was take a book off the shelf and open it up. And within 15 seconds, I'm reading.
That's right.
So how are things getting better? And I could go on and on about everything from my computer to taking a lid off of a plastic thing of pickles. That they improved. I had to squash the thing in order to get separation on the lid, and I lost about half the juice, pulled the thing off. That's not an improvement.
No, it isn't.
And on and on and on. It goes with everything we're buying, everything we spend money on, and it's terrible. And it's just going to get worse. So when you think of the ancients, you need to understand, first of all, we're not all that.
That's right.
And second of all, the ancients weren't stupid. Here's the earliest reference to planets. Mercury. There are written records. They probably knew about them before this. But according to hard data that we can produce and prove, Mercury was at least known from 1000 BC on.
Wow.
Venus, 1600 BC. Jupiter, 800 BC. Saturn, 700 BC. Like I said, that's the oldest records we have. That doesn't mean they didn't know about it before, but that's the oldest records we have been able to find. Now, these wise men would not have called a conjunction of planets a star because they knew the difference between planets and stars.
Amen.
Now, again, they did take the word star and start to kind of choose particular places to use that word to now it's basically balls of gas like our sun. But even the ancients on up to very recent times, the word star was used for basically anything in the universe that wasn't a planet. They would refer to as a star. Who had their hand up? You?
Do you happen to know where they got their names of Mercury, Jupiter, Venus?
Well, it's foreign languages. And so what we translate into our language is different than what we read about in Greek, and Greek was different from the other. So, yes, they had these names, but they were translated, so they wouldn't necessarily always sound the same, like Egyptian. The names were very different sounding.
Than, okay. I was bringing it up because I was thinking of...
But we know it's the same planet.
Okay, because there's, I think in Paul's time, when they're like, oh, this thing, it fell from Jupiter.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of me. So somebody else had their hand up. Yes.
So, there is a reference... Bible to planets.
You're getting ahead of me too.
Okay,
so, if they had not been able to tell the difference, if they had thought that this conjunction of planets was a star, they would have been called ignorant men, not wise men. I just put forth that, Your Honor. Now back in verse 2 again, by the way, look at this. It says at this It says, we have seen his star in the east. I've actually had people argue with me. The star wasn't in the east. They seen his star in the east where they came from. They were in the east.
And they saw the
star. It's like, I saw an Amish person in the east. I would say the west from here. I'd be talking about seeing them out where I live, West Jeff. There's better examples I could use. But... if I saw, I'm trying to think, I had a good example in my mind earlier, but it's the same thing as I'm in West Jeff and I see an airplane.
I have seen the redwoods in the west.
Yeah, that's not a good example. I'm trying to think of a good example. Well, we had a tornado not too long ago, and where was that little Lily Chapel? Had a tornado, and we saw it, and we were east of that. We were out driving around during the tornado. That's how smart we are. And we saw it, and we were east of the tornado. We saw the tornado east of Lily Chapel. That's basically what they're saying here. And I just had to point that out because that it lends to misunderstanding about what they're saying and what happened when they saw this star. Now, a second point to consider is found here in verse 7. So look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, Rome had...